The classic $64 million question came up last night at a program that Earth Youngling organized in Queens. What to do? My mother lives alone. My sister and I bought her that safety pendant, and she refuses to use it. What should I do? Can I force her to use it? Am I compromising on the mitzvah kibbutz of the aim? As I mentioned, I served as a caregiver for both my parents, Aleihem HaShalom, for many, many years. I live in Queens. I'm a mitzvah of Yitzhak HaFanam. I've organized our human programming for many, many years. I have direct access to many outstanding rabbanim. But when it came to a point when I needed to ask a very similar shayla, the one person I turned to will be addressing us this evening, Rabbi Yaakov Pollack. His response was of such value that when I share it with those approaching me for help, they say to me, "Thank you very much. I'm so grateful." So it is indeed a privilege and honor to introduce Rabbi Yaakov Pollack this evening, who will share his vast knowledge and experience on this most important topic. We look forward to his hadrosa. Rabbi Pollack. Kippur Avayim, challenges and opportunities for responding to the mitzvah.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Becker. Sharp. I'm really happy to be here. Not the first time that I am speaking to an elderly audience. I happen to be associated with the Menorah Home and Hospital for 45 years. The one on used to be on Bushwick Avenue and now in Manhattan Beach. And I speak to them once a week. And every Friday morning. I've been doing that for a long, long time. At the present time, I'm also the senior rabbi at NYU Medical Center, and I'd like to share an experience that I had yesterday with an elderly resident of ours who is at the Rusk Institute for Rehabilitation. But we'll come to that in a few moments. We're going to speak about Kibud Avayim, respect that is due to a father and a mother. I wonder if I would surprise you if I would tell you that the rabbis in the Talmud categorized the mitzvah of Kibud Avayim as the most difficult of all of the mitzvahs that we have. We have 613 commandments, 365 negative and 248 positive commandments. Of the positive commandments, Kibud Avayim is the most difficult of all of the commandments. Difficult. First of all, it's an obligation that one has from the moment that he is able to stand on his feet and understand that there is a difference between Tati and Mami and the stranger on the street until what we would call from the cradle to the grave. This is an ongoing obligation that a child has to his parents. And Sadi Gaon, as was mentioned before by Rabbeinu B'chayai, makes the following observation. Kibud Avayim should be a mitzvah? Why should it be a mitzvah? After all, I am obligated to my parents for bringing me into this world. I am obligated to them for they have fed me, given me shelter. When I was born, I was almost immobile. I wasn't able to move. I didn't understand. I didn't comprehend anything. And they nurtured me. They trained me. They taught me how to walk, how to eat, how to become self-sustaining. So I am obligated, and I owe them a debt of gratitude. I have to be machio type, thank you. I have to be machio type to my parents for doing all of this for me. Why does the Torah obligate me to do this as a mitzvah? I owe everything to my parents. There's a debt of gratitude that I have to them from the cradle to the grave. And yet, it is an important mitzvah, and as Chazal tells us, that it is the most difficult of all of the mitzvahs, and as important as it is none other than to be included in the Ten Commandments, mind you. In the Ten Commandments, honor your father and thy mother. Does it really belong in the Ten Commandments? Well, if we say that it's the most difficult of all, then I guess it does. But I would like to ask you a simple question. When it comes to mitzvahs, we have two categories of commandments. Bein Adam la-makom and Bein Adam la-chavero. Laws that pertain between man and God, and man and his fellow friend. Bein Adam la-chavero. I'm not permitted to steal from him. I'm not permitted to embarrass him in public. I have to respect my fellow man. This is Bein Adam la-chavero. I have certain obligations to God. I must observe his day of rest, the seventh day of the week, Shabbat. God told me that I am not permitted to eat something that is not kosher, and when I observe this mitzvah, I observe the eating of matzah on Pesach. This is a relationship that exists between myself and God. Kibud av va'em, honoring parents. What type of a mitzvah is it? Is it Bein Adam la-chaveroi? Or Bein Adam la-mokom? This is a question that many of the commentators discuss in great detail. Most of them are of the opinion that it is Bein Adam la-chaveroi. As Sadi Gaon said, that I am obligated to my parents for doing so much for me. But then again, there is an element of Bein Adam la-mokom as well. After all, there are three partners in the development of man: father, a mother, and God. God is an equal partner over there. There are three partners in the birth and the development of man. So when I am honoring my father and my mother, I must include also the third partner, and this is God. And this is why I would think that the fifth commandment in the arrangement that we have of two columns, first five are Bein Adam la-mokom, and the second are the second column consists of Bein Adam la-chaveroi. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet that which belongs to your fellow friend. That's the human interplay, the relationship between Adam la-chaveroi. Kibud av va'em was purposely put in the first column to show us the importance of this mitzvah. This is mentioned by the Yismach Moshe many, many years ago. To show the importance of this mitzvah, that when we respect our parents, then we are respecting God. What is the meaning of respect? The Talmud tells us we are obligated to feed our parents. We're obligated to take care of their physical needs. There is yet another aspect to respect, and this is to fear and stand in awe of your parents. As we read in 2 weeks, in the parsha 2 weeks ago, is imay ba'ovit tira'u. You are to stand in awe of your parents, not to take them for granted, not to say, well, my father will forgive me, my mother loves me so much she will certainly forgive me and forego this respect that I am obligated to offer to her. So we have to respect our parents. I must say that we cannot compare the challenges and the opportunities of this generation to that of previous generations, and certainly not as existed in the time of the Talmud or when the Torah was given to us at Sinai. Yet, the obligation exists. Family structure has changed. The family of today, the mobile family. The whole family structure is different today than it was yesteryear. We know this to be true. We had extended families years ago, 10 children in one family. Today, for some reason or other, we only have, let's say, in the average family, 2 children, 3 children. And then the thrust, the obligations, the challenges of respect that children have to offer to the parents is thrust upon them and is much greater. We all know that years ago, elderly people would enjoy a very honored spot in the structure of the family. Today, the generation gap between children and parents, between grandchildren and grandparents, is vastly different than it used to be. And it's difficult for children today, where especially women are a major part of the workforce, and they are no longer found at home due to economic stress. So then the structure of the home life has been altered as what we knew in previous generations. And it is costing us a great deal. Secondly, modern man becomes a victim of good medicine. People are living longer today because of good medicine. Because of nutritional values that we offer our citizens. Mortality rate. We live longer today than we did yesteryear. And this brings on added problems. Coming to the problem that I encountered yesterday. A woman, a religious woman, at the hospital, says, "Rabbi, I have a problem. I'm here at the rehab center, and the insurance company says that I have to leave within a few days," which is so very often the case. The worker at the insurance company decides, not the doctors and not the physical therapist, but somebody who has been given certain orders that you must go home. All right. He has to go home. Where is he going to go? The son works, and he's out of the house. The daughter also has a very prestigious job. And she wants to go home, and the children say, no, Mom, you have to go to a residential facility where they will take care of you. The mother doesn't want to go to a residential facility, whether it be an assisted living facility or for complete custodial care. She wants to stay home. She wants to retain her dignity. And her children say, Mama, we have no alternatives. All right? There are certain organizations that take care of, and as Rabbi Becker so very well knows and is so experienced in this area, where we have custodial care for certain amounts of hours every day in the life. Children are frightened to leave mother alone. On the one hand, they want to permit the mother to retain her dignity and to keep her in her home setting, something that she has been accustomed to for so many decades, and yet they have this problem. This is a challenge to children, a challenge to the elderly parent. Where do we go from here? It's very difficult to make a blanket statement, and I probably am going to have an argument with Dr. Drucker a little bit later. If we can make general statements concerning the aged, or we have to take each case individually and recognize all of the components over here, all of the factors that are combined over here, and never to make a general statement that people are to do this. Each case has to be reckoned with. The personality of the person, the physical condition of the person that we are talking about, the attitude of the children, the community where they live, how much outside help there is. There are a combination of so many factors involved that it would be impossible to make a general statement and say, well, in all cases, let them stay home. In all cases, let them go. But recognizing the fact that children have this problem, especially as people get older and more feeble and less capable of making decisions necessary for their own physical and social well-being. I say that physically we can't be well. Sometimes certain parts of the brain dry up, certain ailments enter, and what we will call perhaps Alzheimer's or forgetfulness and so forth. These are things that we have to contend with. Most of the time, we try to keep people within their homes where they recognize settings, and they have lived with these settings, and this is what gives them what we call self-pride and dignity. But there comes a time, because of physical impairment, where this is no longer possible. So we try to make amends. We try to accommodate these people by bringing in outside help. Very often, this doesn't help. And there are times that we have to remove the person who lived in dignity and sometimes put them in a facility, to introduce them to a new facility. And how happy I am to see this particular facility over here. where there is care, not only in a physical sense, but I'm sure that you have physical therapy over here, you have occupational therapy over here, and they give you programs where they occupy your mind, which is the most important facility, most important facet of the well-being of a patient, resident of a facility. I've known the Sharp family for many, many years, And they have dedicated themselves to create these kind of facilities for the betterment of those who come to and knock on their doors for this help. And they have succeeded. I'm very happy that Rabbi Reuben Becker also involves himself in this very important challenge. He's the one who has the opportunities and the challenges of taking care of the people who have been blessed with longevity. It is a blessing if the person is given the ability to occupy his mind and his body. The most important stretch should be the mind. Give you an opportunity to pray, to learn, to be industrious, and not to stay in your room, not to stay on your bed, not to stay all the time in a chair, but to be mobile and to be active. And the important thing is for your mind to be active. Children have these problems today as to what to do with parents. Life is a cycle. There's a certain time, as one elderly man said when he was 80 years old, up until now, my feet carried me. Now I have to carry my feet. It becomes difficult to walk. I have to carry my feet. Parents have cared and have given love and physical care and their very lives for their children. The wheel turns. There are times that children have to take care of their parents. As I said at the very opening of my remarks, that this is an ongoing obligation on the part of children. It isn't something that ends at a certain era, at a certain age of the parent, or at a certain age of the child. Regardless of the physical or the mental condition of the parent, the obligation of Tabed Etzavicha Ve'etzimecha remains. Let me tell you a story about a difficult parent. None other than Rabbi Tarfon, the colleague of Rabbi Akiva. You remember the name from your Talmud? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, they were colleagues. Rabbi Tarfon was the spokesman for the Jewish people when he came to speak to the senators in Rome. He was a very accomplished speaker, spokesman for the Jewish people. He had a difficult mother. A very difficult mother. There were times that she would take his pocket of money, empty it, and throw the money away. There were times that she would follow her son to Rome and embarrass him in front of the senators of Rome. What was Rapalpin's attitude towards his mother? He would get up early in the morning and he would put his hands on the cold marble floor so that when Mama gets up, her feet should not have to touch the cold marble floors. In other words, as impossible as she was, and possible that she was impossible, worthy of this respect, not in American standards, but nevertheless Rabbi Tarfon considered this his obligation, regardless if his mother would be the Grand Dame of London, of Paris, the most beautiful woman in the world. No, she was a witch. A witch, and yet he exercised this respect for her. And this was only an example of the respect. Whether he loved her or not, I can't answer that. And nowhere does it say in the Torah that you have to love a parent. It doesn't say love your parent. It says respect your parent. Kabed es avicha ve'es imecha. And I must say that in the American way of living, unfortunately, our children are not exposed to the utmost respect that we have given to our parents, that the previous generation gave to its parents. Unfortunately, they are not exposed to it. And therefore, they do not respond in kind. You know, it's very difficult for a religious person today, when he speaks to a parent, and the parent becomes difficult, he is filled with guilt, he is filled with the willingness to help, and he is limited. And these are many of the challenges that you have in the title of this book, of this talk that we're going to have this evening. Granted, it becomes difficult, but it does not diminish the obligation on the part of the child to exercise this commandment, whether it be ben odam l'chaveroi or ben odam l'mocher. We do not offer excuses. I am too tired. I work all day. I have my own obligations. You'll have to take care of yourself. You know, it's like the old saying that a child says to his father, comes 20 years old, and he says, you know, Papa, up until now, you worked for me. Now that I am old enough, you can work for yourself. You thought that he would say, now that I am old enough, I'm going to take care of you. No. Das ist ihm gar nicht eingefallen. But now that I am old enough, you can take care of yourself. This is the philosophy of this generation. Take care of yourself. The Torah tells us differently. And this is something that applies to this generation and to last generation and to 100 years ago and 200 years ago and 3,334 years ago when the Torah was given. It's your father, it's your mother, it's your responsibility regardless of what your particular situation is. Granted, it's more difficult now than it used to be. But that is your problem, not the problem of the parents.